The scripture says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands, they should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." What a passage of scripture to dig into providentially on this particular Lord's Day. We've just been slowly walking our way through here, and ironically, this week as I was studying, I realized, hey, this Sunday is going to be Father's Day, and I'm going to be addressing husbands. And so it was not by my design that I was going to be here in this particular passage this morning, but ultimately I believe it is of the Lord. And as I thought about this particular passage in light of Father's Day, I'm convinced one of the greatest needs your children have is to see parents who love God supremely. They need fathers who will love their wives sacrificially, and mothers who will submit joyfully. Fathers, your children will better understand who Jesus is and what he is like and the good news of the gospel by the way you love and lead your children's mother, both with grace and with gladness. So this is one of the greatest needs your children have. And so providentially, I think we are here, because if I were going to address parents and children, it would be first, your marriage has to be solid. And so this would be my first point anyway. And so we see this particular marriage between a husband and a wife. We go all the way back to the beginning, and it says that God made everything good with the exception of one thing. God told Adam there in the beginning in Genesis 2, he said, "It is not good for you, Adam, to be alone." Out of all the good, the end of the creation, God declares, this is very good. But as he goes into chapter 2, giving more detail of this creation, he says it was not good that Adam would be alone. And God made for the man a helper who was fit or suitable for him, specially created by God for the joy of the man, for the fulfillment of his longings. Adam declared this, speaking of Eve, "At last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." There seemed to be within Adam a longing or a sense of incompletion before God, before he had provided for him a wife. Because he says, "At last." He had gone through and looked at the animals, and they were two by two, and they all had this union there. And he was incomplete. He was lacking, and he was longing within his heart. God, isn't there something for me? Something more for me? And God, in His grace, said, I'm not done yet. Here is someone fit for you. Here's a suitable helper for you for your great joy and gladness, as Adam had that very day. So now we work our way into this particular passage in Ephesians 5. And 2 weeks ago, we dealt really with just verse 22 through 24 and the call of wives to submit to their husbands as to the Lord, submitting in everything. And this week we turn our attention to the husbands. And I want to begin by talking about the husbands from verse 23. The first point this morning, loving husbands lead like their Lord. Loving husbands lead like their Lord. He says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, His body, and is Himself its Savior. So here, Paul is describing for us the role of a man is to be the head of the household, to be the head of his wife. And I spent a great deal of time, I probably spent more time this week, trying to unravel what this means. Because as you follow this text, husbands are called to follow the example of Jesus. As Christ is head of the church. And so I spent more time trying to unpack, well, how is Jesus the head of the church? How does He express His headship? How does He lead in this way? Headship is an authority over. It's a ruling over. And how does He do this for the church? Because if we don't understand that rightly, then as husbands, we're going to fail miserably. Because this is the standard by which we are measured. This is the standard we're called to live out for our wives. So husbands, lead like the Lord, who is head over the church. As I began to think through what this looks like, I came across Matthew 16, verse 18, where Jesus says to Peter and to the apostles there, I will build my church. And upon the rock, this rock, the confession of Christ and the apostles' preaching, the church of Christ would be built, and the gates of hell would not prevail against what He has built. So what He builds is firm. What He builds is eternal. What He builds is stable, unshakable kingdom. So Christ is one who is building the church. In Psalm 127 it says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain. And so I think in many respects, we are not the Lord, but we're called to follow the Lord, lead like the Lord. And so the head is the builder of the home in many respects. He sets the home or family on what we would say is a firm foundation. And as Paul and Peter and many of the others describe, there's no other foundation other than Christ Jesus. So a house must be built on the Lord, on the gospel truth of His death, burial, and resurrection for us. So the head is a builder. He's the architect. He sets it on the foundation. As a builder, he labors according to God's design, according to God's instruction, ensuring that this building is going to meet the code. It's going to be according to design. And this, as the head of the house, as the head of your wives, you're laboring according to God's design. In a sense, God has called you to this work, and in this work, we should find great joy and gladness. The builder, the head, is thoughtful of every detail, from the materials used to the methods, all with the an eye on the end product. We're concerned, what is this going to look like in the end? We're seeking as builders to produce high quality product. High quality, with a desire that the customer be fully satisfied. Fully satisfied, filled with joy at your offering and all the love and care that you have poured into this work. And hopefully you can see some of the language that I'm using, trying to help you to understand as husbands, this is what we are to do for our wives. We're to set the direction of the house. We are to labor in the house and in the home with our wives, for our wives. And as this passage will go on, we are ultimately going to be, in a sense, presenting our wives. We're presenting them in the end, holy and blameless. This is a finished product. In a sense, we've been called by God to seek the transformation of our wives. As you look down in verse 23, he says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body and himself its Savior." Now, we're not the Savior of our wives in the sense that they look to us for salvation complete. But in some respects, in many respects, we have been saved by God through faith in Jesus. In other respects, we are being saved as God is transforming us into the image of Christ. And we will be saved in the end when He does come for us. And so in this middle process, this is where I believe husbands are in some sense saviors of their wives, because they are gifts to their wives to help them, to love them, to care for them, to nurture them, to sanctify them, to purify them, so that when Jesus does come, they have made progress, great progress to Christ's likeness. Not that we can save our wives, but we are instruments by which God uses to make them more like Himself. Headship in Genesis 3:16, after they had sinned and rebelled against God, there was going to be this issue, this struggle that is in every marriage. The wife is going to seek to lead, and she is called to submit. And it says there, "He shall rule over you," he tells Eve. He is going to be the head over you, regardless of how bad you want to lead him. I've designed it this way from the beginning, you to be the head, you to lead in the home, you to be the authority. In 1 Corinthians 15, another passage I was thinking through, what does it mean to be the head of the home? Or what does it mean for Christ to be the head? And there in that particular passage, it talks about Adam, who is, in a sense, the first head, who led to death because he sinned and rebelled against God. And here comes the second Adam, or the second head, the one true head. And he leads us to life. A beautiful passage of Scripture. And in that passage, it talks about Jesus, how he is reigning over all things. And eventually, he's putting all the enemies that are opposed to him under his feet. Eventually, destroying them. And I found it fascinating as you get on down to 15:28 that all this is leading up, this headship is leading that God may be all in all. So Jesus is exercising his headship over the church and over all of creation to show that God is all in all. He's it. He's what we are after. And so as husbands, we come along to show our wives, our children, our families, our church, everyone around us, we want this to be our longing for our headship. That we want, through our headship, people to see God as all in all. That is our greatest longing. And that is what it seems from 1 Corinthians 15 is the longing of Jesus exercising His headship over the church and really as Lord over all creation. As I thought through this idea of headship, I could not find more detail about headship than found here in Ephesians 5. I went digging all over the place. Where is this described? How is it described? And I found a lot of helpful material. But here in Ephesians 5 is the greatest explanation of what it means for Christ as head of the church to be the head of the church and how He exercised that. Here is explained more clearly, and you'll see this week and the weeks to come what this looks like. One thing that is noteworthy as we begin, nowhere here or anywhere in the passages found in the Scriptures does it say, husbands, exercise your headship. What it says is, husbands, love your wives. So exercising your headship is going to look like what this passage looks like. It's going to look like the life of Jesus, who loved the world and gave Himself up for them, that they might be reconciled to God. Here is the call to love. Love is the summation of the law of God. At the heart of the law, Jesus summarized it. The greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So here, the call of the head is to love God supremely. And that is exactly what Jesus did. He was in love with His Father. He spent time with His Father. He completely obeyed His Father in everything. And the second command is to love your neighbor as yourself. And as you look through this particular passage, you're going to find in Ephesians 5 that the call of the husband is to love their wives, how? As himself. So he's saying, fulfill the law of God. Love God supremely and love your neighbor. And specifically in this case, we're talking about your wives. And so this is how Jesus lived His life. And this is a life He calls us to and empowers us by His Spirit to live. So a few points of application. You might ask, how might God be calling me to build my family upon Christ, the rock? How or what have you been building it upon so far? You come to know these answers by asking things like, what is my daily routine? What do I value in my normal life as an individual, as a husband? And what do we as a family value? What do we devote our time to? What do we spend our money on? And as you begin to evaluate, to consider these things, some things most likely, including me, need to be let go. As we ask those penetrating questions, some things will need to be let go. And as you let go of those things, what would indicate to the Lord that Jesus is the best and greatest treasure in your life? So, what do I replace it with? And the question is, how can I express that Jesus is better than anything else as a family, as a husband, as a follower of Jesus? How can I show that He is better, that He is supreme? You might ask, as God's appointed leader of your wife and of your family, how might you best lead your wife, or better, lead and love your wives? How might you better lead your children? Some of you are like me, and when you get home, you're tempted to check out. I want rest. I deserve rest. I demand rest. And although you might need rest, here is the heart of God's calling for you. And the problem is, many of us, most of us, probably would rather just check out in front of the TV and just go numb, rather than engaging. And I would encourage you, as you look at Jesus, you look at His life, He is the one who initiates the action. Right? Here's the people in the world. All have sinned, the Bible says, and gone astray. We have all like sheep and gone astray. And here is Jesus who initiates, who comes to the earth to rescue rebels. He engages with those who are opposed to Him. And so as husbands, we come home, and what we should be focused on is engaging when we get home. Investing our time, investing our lives for the building up of our wives. I deeply desire to see the men of this nation rise up, be men, godly, God-fearing, God-honoring, loving, compassionate men. Second point this morning, loving husbands give for the good of their brides. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. So here, the husband's call is an impossible call. You cannot love your wife as Jesus loves the church. So does that mean I just quit? You've asked me to do something I could never live up to. Do you expect this of me, Lord? Yes. It doesn't mean we quit. It means we turn to Him and say, God, You've got to help me in this. I can't do this on my own. I need a whole lot of help. And His expression of love here in Ephesians 5:25 is by giving of Himself. Giving Himself up for her, for His bride, which is the church. In Ephesians 1, we have received every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, all coming from God through Christ. And so you see, as God loves us, He is giving to us. And here He's given us every spiritual blessing in this very book. And as husbands, we're called to give for the good, for the benefit, for the upbuilding of our wives. We want them to be more like Jesus. Romans 8:28, God is working all things for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purposes. So He is seeking intentionally to do good for us. And so as He is seeking for our good, He's calling us to come along with Him and also seek for their good. He's already doing this, and He's inviting us husbands to come along and join Him in this work of doing good for these women. What a beautiful privilege it is that God has invited us to join Him in His work. The greatest good, to give us the bride of Christ, that is, Jesus gave Himself on the cross, thereby becoming their Savior. He saved us from our sin and our just condemnation. So the greatest good, He gave Himself up. What does that mean? He willingly submitted to the authorities of the day. He willingly died and was punished because of our sin. Because we're not good husbands. We haven't done what we should. We have done so many things to sin against God. And here Jesus, for the good of the church, He offers himself by dying on a cross and rising again that he might bring her to himself. The beautiful thing here is the heart of Jesus. He gave himself up for her. You might say, for her good, for her blessings. He willingly suffered. He willingly sacrificed. And this is the call of the husbands. For her. For her good. He sacrificed. He was not selfish in this. At the heart of Jesus, we see him greatly concerned for his bride, as we should be concerned for our brides. Husbands, love your wives as Christ did the church. What does this look like? According to 1 Corinthians 13, it says, your love should be patient. Your love should be kind. Your love should not envy. Your love should not be boastful. Your love is not arrogant or prideful or rude. It does not insist on its own way, even though you might be the head. Willing to give. It is not irritable. It is not resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoings. But love rejoices with the truth. Love bears everything that your wife can throw at you. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures everything. Love never ends or fails. This is the kind of love that Jesus is calling us to have for our wives. This was probably in your wedding, maybe. Just a slight chance. It's in most of them. This is what you were called to that day. You were committed to that day. That's what you desired that day. And so many of us need a recovery, a reminder. This is what we are about. Loving as our Lord has loved us and given Himself up for us. We want to care for our wives that dearly as well. So ask yourself, how can I bless my wife on an ongoing basis? What does she feel she needs from you that she is not getting? It might be that her demands are too much. It might be that her demands are wrong. But you're still considering how can I? What are her perceived needs? How can I best seek to do good for her? To build her up. Giving of your time, talents, and treasures for the good of your wife. So how am I spending my time? Am I spending quality time with my wife? Are you exercising the gifts and talents you have to physically and spiritually encourage her? How are you stewarding your money to show her that you value her? One way I might encourage you is go back to that 1 Corinthians 13 passage and memorize that and prayerfully ask God to display this through you. To your wife, for her good, so that others would see that she is built up. She is being drawn near to God. And then finally, a third point. Loving husbands wash their wives with the word. Number one ministry of of husbands is a calling to minister to your wife. She is the number one. So here, he describes in Ephesians 5 that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word. So he's going to describe how he's using the word of God to bring about cleansing and purification. And we look into the word in Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is described as living and active, and the word of God discerns our thoughts and intentions of our heart. And so we use the Word of God to wash our wives because it can reach a level that we as husbands could never reach into. We don't know the depths of their thoughts. We don't know the emotions of their heart. But the Word of God can creep in and penetrate and begin to heal and to mend their hearts and their minds. 2 Timothy 3 16, the Scripture, all Scripture is breathed out by God. It is God's Word and it is profitable. That means it will do good if you will teach it, if you will use it to reprove, to correct, and to train for righteousness. And it will equip you all for every good work. And so here, the Word of God is used to be one of the means by which you use to see your wives built up in Christ. The Word of God, according to Psalm 119:11, when we store it in our heart, it says, the psalmist says, I've stored it in my heart that I might not sin against God. And so this Word of God will protect you from ongoing sin. And so, some thoughts and some applications that I've been wrestling with this week. So how can I apply some of these things? And so I've thought, every time I take a shower or every time I wash my hands, I want to begin to pray for my wife. As I'm thinking about this process of washing, I'm thinking of, here is what God has called me to do. Ask God as you're praying to bring to mind passages of Scripture that you can share with your wives with the desire to encourage them and to build them up and to do good to them. Share with your wives nuggets from your daily reading. What is it that the Lord is impressing on your heart today? Maybe it was something that you saw. It could have been a beautiful sunset that you turn and you describe to your wife what beauty God has put on display for us. How can we in an ongoing way encourage our wives this way? Read and memorize the same passages of Scripture together. Maybe you're reading the same thing at the same time. These aren't demands, these are suggestions, possibilities, ways, hopefully tools for you guys to build with. And then evaluate the content of your normal conversations and ask, how am I intentionally engaging her with the Scriptures, and how might it foster more Christ-likeness for her? And so here is the summary. We are called to be loving husbands to lead like our Lord, who is the head of the church. Loving husbands give for the good of their brides, and loving husbands wash their wives with the word. And next week we will continue that, because this washing has not just a purpose, it has great purpose and intentionality. And he goes on, just to give you a long shot, to sanctify them, to present them holy and without blemish. And so our desire for our wives is to have them complete, to have them as Jesus has designed them to be. And so we don't stop until they reach that pinnacle. And so that is our longing for our wives. May God help us. Amen.
at least in my marriage, many marriages here.